The show is live and local. It's your connection to local performances. On our program today, coming up, a feature on the Urbana Pops Orchestra's first summer concert, which will be next Friday, June 15th, at the Vineyard Church in Urbana. The program called Magical Tales. We'll have two soloists who will be performing on that concert and also the conductor and associate conductor of the Urbana Pops. First, though, the first of three features we will be doing as the weeks progress on the Summer Studio Theater series at the Krannert Center in Urbana. That got underway last week and continues tonight with a play we'll be featuring next week. The one we'll be talking about on today's program actually began last week and picks up again next Tuesday. It's called Shipwrecked, an Entertainment, The Amazing Adventures of Louis de Rougemont, as told by himself. I like saying that name because it's nice and long and implies something very interesting, and we'll find out what actually goes on in it and hear a live scene on the show today. It's live and local. Stay tuned.
What shall we do with a drunken sailor? What shall we do with a drunken sailor? What shall we do with a drunken sailor early in the morning? Way, hey, up she rises. Way, hey, up she rises. Way, hey, up she rises early in the morning.
What shall we do with a drunken sailor in the morning?
We heard the men of the Robert Shaw Chorale from their wonderful Sea Shanties record from many years ago, which I love. That was What Shall We Do with the Drunken Sailor, or with a drunken sailor. And I am told that that's some music that will show up in the play we're going to be talking about on this portion of Live and Local here on FM 90.9. It started last week, Friday and Saturday, at the Krannert Center in Urbana, kicking off the Summer Studio Theater series. And we'll pick up again next Tuesday, although the series continues with a play happening tonight, which we'll talk about next week. And this is called Shipwrecked, an Entertainment, The Amazing Adventures of Louis de Rougemont, as told by himself. It's a play by Donald Margulies and directed by J.W. Morissette. And we have with us three of the actors from that production, and also Professor Tom Mitchell, who is coordinator for, director of,
sure,
what are you called in reference to the summer studio
theater? I'm sort of producing this, the summer season.
Well, thanks for coming in, and thanks for bringing folks with you. Before we get to the play itself, give a little bit of a rundown on the four plays happening this summer and if there's any rationale for why they were chosen together.
Sure. The summer in the studio at the Krannert Center has been going on now for a good while. We retooled things a couple of years ago, and what we're trying to do during the month of June, we do two plays in rep. So they play in a sort of irregular schedule. One play plays one night, the other plays the other night, and maybe a couple of nights. You can check the schedules at the Krannert Center to find out all the details. But we're trying to do light, fun, interesting kinds of work. Shipwrecked is a tour de force for these three actors that tells a highly adventurous kind of story. Lots of fun, great fun for the audiences who've been there already. And then on the other nights, we're doing this new musical called Gone Missing. That's a musical with a small ensemble of actors and singers, quite different in its tone. But together, the shows flip back and forth with a fairly simple set that changes from tonight night to night. Then in the month of July, we're doing a favorite, The Diary of Anne Frank, with a cast made up of community members as well as students from the theater program.
Isn't that generally true, though, for casts for the plays then throughout the summer?
It's been the case that, as in Shipwrecked, we've got a great local community actor as well as students from the program. And also in Gone Missing, we have some adult actors from the community along with students. The difference in Anne Frank is we've got some adult actors, some university students, and some young children who are in the Diary of Anne Frank. So it's a real intergenerational play that takes advantage of all the talent that we've got in the community.
And then there's a fourth production, which
right,
is a cabaret.
The fourth is a cabaret, two performances only, with Kent Conrad, who's a wonderful local musician, pianist, and singer. He's put together this cabaret show of an odd collection of music distinctively performed by Kent, which should be a lot of fun. There's a late night performance one of the nights, and then a regular 7:30 performance on Sunday for people not willing to stay up so late.
And we'll be previewing both that cabaret and Gone Missing, for which I think Kent is musical director
right,
as well,
right.
On, I believe it's next Wednesday's show. He'll be doing the cabaret in the first half of the show and then the musical on the second half, so that mm-hmm. should be a really nice time as well. So about this play, Shipwrecked, Louis de Rougemont, according to Wikipedia, that was not his real name. I assume that Wikipedia might be semi-accurate on that topic anyway. Somebody named Henri Louis Grin, born in Switzerland. Who's got the history on Louis de Rougemont?
I don't have much.
And
I
here is
on
Dallas
Wikipedia.
Street.
Yeah.
He's playing the lead, the title character.
He was a real person. At least the fellow proclaiming to be Louis de Rougemont, who became very popular by this serial of adventures, you know, that were printed in London, and then they were kind of debunked, and along with his, you know, along with that, his fame started to decline. He ended up going on the lecture circuit for the rest of his life to try to convince the crowd that everything that he said in his serial was true.
He was a footman to an actress, servant to a banker, butler for a governor, and then at some point, is there any verification that he actually went on these adventures at all, or is that the whole question?
I haven't found any.
But no verification that he didn't either.
That's true.
Yeah. Other than that, they are relatively unbelievable, or at least difficult to believe.
Exactly.
Does the play just tell these tales, or how does the play unfold?
Well, it starts off as Louis, as in the later years, performing for this crowd to recount his tales. And then the piece, you know, becomes more of a theater piece, to where it there's a shift in tone, to where it is kind of found out that, you know, these things may not be true. And so it becomes a little more psychological about, you know, why a person would make up all of these things.
You told me, Dallas, as we were actually walking into the building, that this is, I don't remember now if you said one of the most challenging or the most challenging role you've played.
I would say probably the most challenging role. I've had shows that had as much memorization, but I've never had to move as much while saying lines. I mean, there's something really rewarding about sweating through your costume each show. You know, it's 90 minutes straight through, and I've got bruises and pulled muscles, and I'm doing things, you know, that a person of my age shouldn't be doing. I'm cartwheels, somersaults, you name it.
And do these have to do with the adventures or with the telling of the adventures?
Absolutely.
Or with people abusing you because they don't believe your adventures?
No, it's all part of the show, because it's a very actor-driven piece, and it's based on storytelling. So it's very frenetic. We're constantly moving, shifting scenery and playing props. My two fellow actors play, you know, a multitude of characters, and they're changing in and out of accents just as quickly as costume pieces.
So it is just the three of you in the show?
Yes.
Well, let's introduce the other actors. Dallas Street is playing Louis de Rougemont, and then Joe Bersma is
a bunch of people. Yes.
Player two.
Player two.
A very distinguished character name. And then Aurora Adachi-Winter are, let me guess, you're player one.
I am.
And how many roles do you have, each of you?
I did a tally one day, and it was close to 40. 40 different characters that I hop in out of.
My eyebrows have gone up very high. This is radio, so you can't see that, but that is a lot of characters. Aurora?
Yeah.
Similar?
Probably very similar. There's just moments where you're like playing a person for literally like two lines,
two seconds.
Then you switch into someone else. So a tally of probably like, 30, 35.
And I assume that not all of these will have costume changes.
Or small like hat changes.
Yeah.
Yep.
And a lot of changes in, like, physicality and voices and stuff like that.
So this is sounds like a play where the stories themselves are pretty good tales, but the real entertainment is in the presentation of the whole thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So. And is this all necessarily called for by the play itself, or is this all J.E.W. Morissette's doing that causes you to have bruises, for example?
A lot of it is in the script, and the playwright was very specific that when he wrote this play, he wanted to get back to storytelling. As a footnote to the play, he writes this article about how people often these days go to the theater to see things that they already know. And, musicals based on movies to where they know the jokes that are coming, but this is, stripped down. It's very actor-driven and it gets back to the imagination of theater.
Well, as best as we can, without the visual stimulation, let's give folks an idea of this play. I know you have a fairly extended scene you brought along. All three of you involved in this, I assume. Multiple characters in this one going on. This is from the play Shipwrecked in Entertainment, The Amazing Adventures of Louis de Rougemont, as told by himself, Dallas Street as Louis, and Joe Bersma and Aurora Adachi-Winter as, well, we'll see who they're playing as we go along. Here, live on Live and Local.
My story begins a long, long time ago in the year 1860. I am a sickly child of eight, a pale and pasty-faced boy, prone to coughs and sneezes. While the other little children frolic in the out-of-doors, I am confined to my little bed in my little blue room.
Ring around the rosy.
Come out wherever you are.
I can see them from my window playing in the sun. Oh, how I long to be with them. Mother, why must I stay indoors? Why can't I go outside and play?
Dear child, you're a fragile boy with a delicate constitution. Exposure to heaven knows what nastiness lurks out there in the world would only bring harm. Best to stay indoors, darling boy, where mother can protect you.
Mother reads to me constantly for hours on end. Adventure stories, fantastic tales, the great timeless tomes, Arabian Nights, The Odyssey, Robinson Crusoe, wondrous journeys, each and every one of them. Books break down the walls of my infirmary prison. My bed becomes a raft on the rocky ocean. Years go by. I outgrow childish things. I am healthy, but still rather pale, for my cheeks have seldom been kissed by the sun. One day, I defy my mother and I go outside.
Louis! What are you doing?
Oh, the sun on my face feels glorious.
Back inside, back to bed with you this instant.
Mother dear, you've kept me safe and made me strong. For that I am grateful. But now it's time to let me go and begin my life.
What on earth are you talking about here? You come back inside. Have a scone.
And so I enter the real world.
Chickens!
Eggs!
Potatoes!
Geese!
Hey, watch where you're walking.
Sorry.
What are you, blind?
So sorry.
I beg your pardon, sir.
No, I beg your pardon. I find shelter from the rain in a darkened doorway when a certain gentleman...
Get out!
Get your bloody stinking hands off of me!
Well, there's nothing gentle about him, really.
And stay out, you drunken old sea dog!
Who you calling a drunken old sea dog? I ain't no dog. Jensen's the name, Captain Peter Jensen. And if you don't like it, you can blow it out.
Sir, excuse me.
Who's there? Are
you all right?
Who said that?
I did, sir, over here.
Who are you?
My name is Louis de Rougemont. I couldn't help but overhear you. Did you say you are a sea captain?
Indeed, I am.
Of a ship of your own?
I should say so. What kind of a captain would I be without a ship of me own? I'd have no business calling myself a captain now, would I?
Well, no, I suppose not. What's it called, your ship?
She's called the Wonder World.
The Wonder World. What a wonderful name for a ship.
She's a good gal, she is. 40 tons and sturdy as a boulder. To think, I'll be back at her realm in just 2 days' time.
In 2 days' time, did you say? What happens in 2 days' time?
I depart on my next seafaring journey.
Oh, an adventure. Sir, I do envy you so. Why, ever since I was a little boy tucked in my little bed, I dreamt of sailing.
Ah, in your little bed. Isn't that sweet? Well, fancy that. Just so happens I have room on board for another shipment.
Room on board? For another shipman?
You wouldn't be interested in joining me on this expedition now, would ya?
Joining you on this expedition?
Are you gonna repeat every last bloomy thing I say?
No, sir. Sorry, sir. What sort of expedition is it?
A pearling expedition.
A pearling expedition?
Didn't I tell you? You stop repeating every last bloomy thing I say.
Yeah, where are the pearls?
Far away from here, lad. That's for sure. Halfway around the world, on the far side of the globe.
Where exactly?
The Coral Sea!
The Coral Sea! Sorry, I mean, where is the Coral Sea?
Australia! Here. All along the Great Barrier Reef, miles and miles of precious pearls slumber in their shells, waiting for some lucky bloke to come along and snatch them from the deep.
Who?
You're looking at them! So, you're coming with me, or ain't ya?
What happens next, dear audience, I think you can guess.
And that's all you'll have to do is guess until you show up and see this production. Dallas Street in the role of Louis de Rougemont, telling the tale himself of shipwrecked and entertainment and his amazing adventures. It's the production, the first production. It's no longer the first production. It started the Summer Studio Theater series at the Craner Center in Urbana, but that series continues tonight with Gone Missing, and then this play will pick up next Tuesday. We also had Joe Borsma as Player 2, and then most prominently as the Sea Captain, but otherwise as Player 1, Aurora Adachi Winter. Joe, are you, I know that Dallas is technically a community actor, and he shows up at whatever theater company will have him, which is just about all of them in town at one time or another. What's your background? Where do you come from?
Well, I come from Skokie, back near Chicago, a suburb, but I, right now I'm in town because I'm still attending the U of I. Which I'm getting my acting major, so I'm going to be a senior next year, and I'm doing the summer studio as a summer job.
And Aurora,
I just graduated.
Congratulations!
Thank you. And then I'm from Chicago, so when summer studio is over, I'll be moving back to Chicago to become a struggling, starving artist.
Congratulations on that wonderful role.
Thank you.
And May you do better than the average person does who goes into that role of struggling, starving artist.
Thanks.
Some do well, and some find other ways to starve or not starve.
Or not starve.
Yeah. I know, Joe, this is not your first summer studio production. Is this yours, Aurora?
Yes, it is.
And remind me, you were here last year.
Last year I was playing Jeff in Title of Show, which was the summer studio musical last year.
Yeah. I do remember that one. It has a quirky notion of the whole play.
Yeah, it was a musical about writing a musical about writing a musical.
Which sort of comes back to Tom Mitchell's notion of how these plays are chosen, at least the last few years, to be fairly quirky and entertaining in different ways. Maybe does that necessarily mean less serious than some of the past ones have been?
They're not necessarily less serious, but quirky, I think, is a good name. In this community, we're lucky to be able to have a richness of of different kinds of productions, even during the summertime. And I felt like in the summer, in the studio theater, we can only do sort of small productions. And rather than doing the standard kind of fare, I've been looking for things that are a little bit out of the ordinary and that take advantage of the kinds of skills that we've got here. We have a lot of smart actors, really clever, like Aurora and Joe and Dallas. And these kinds of quirky shows, I think, really show that off.
I was waiting, Aurora, for you to go, arr! But you didn't.
No, it's really funny because when we first started doing the show, I really, really struggled with the pirate. I was really struggling. And to get into it, I would go, arg, every, 2 seconds, and I would go right back into the pirate talk, and then I would fall out into, German or something else that I was doing. And then I'd go, arg, again, and be back.
So that is the magic word, to
it
become
is,
a pirate.
Yes.
I read somewhere along the line that pirates really never said, arg, that it all came up from Long John Silver in Treasure Island, the film.
Yeah.
That he started that whole deal,
yeah.
Whatever the name of the actor was who did that. But it has become pirate speak ever since. And apparently works for actors, too, to get into character.
It does.
Well, it seems like it would be an awful lot of fun to go see this play, and I hope that some of our audience members will do that, because that's, after all, why you came in. You can get the complete schedule by going to krannertcenter.com. And again, next Wednesday, we'll be featuring the other two productions that are happening this month. And then probably we'll catch up with whoever's doing Diary of Anne Frank. Are you involved in that one, Tom?
Just producing it.
You're that one as well. Who's directing that one?
Lisa Gay Dixon.
Okay, so that means there'll be some interesting twists to it, I imagine. She's good at that sort of thing. It's Shipwrecked, an entertainment, which continues next Tuesday at the Krannert Center. And you're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. Stay tuned for our next feature on next Friday's concert by the Urbana Pops Orchestra, which is called Magical Tales, appropriate follow-up to this segment. You're listening to Live and Local on 90.9. And we invite you to join us in September for WYLL's Civil War Train. You can board vintage train cars for stops in Vicksburg, Atlanta, Kennesaw Mountain, Chickamauga, and New Orleans. Visit the Smithsonian Southern and Southeast Railway Museums and see Civil War era Washington, D.C. The trip is nearly sold out, so if you want to get involved, call 217-333-7300 or visit will.illinois.edu/willtravel for more information. That was The Sorcerer's Apprentice, music by Paul Dukas, in performance by the Montreal Symphony Orchestra, led by Charles Dutoit, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. That's one of the pieces that will be on a concert called Magical Tales by the Urbana Pops Orchestra, which will be happening next Friday, June 15th at 7 p.m. at the Vineyard Church on Lincoln Avenue in Urbana. Central Illinois Children's Chorus joining for some movie selections from a couple of different musicals, a couple of different movies, and other sorts of magical things. And we've got two of the performers, both from the cello section, who are with us on the program today to give us a couple of live bits. And with us also the conductor of the Pops and the associate conductor of the Pops, Daniel Sutherland and Stephen Larson, respectively. So thank you all for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having us again, actually.
Again, that's right. Well, we try to, you don't do that many concerts that would prevent us from covering all of them.
It would start to get boring if we were here every month, I guess.
Probably, yeah.
It's more special this way.
Makes it very special. Why Magical Tales?
It's really fun music. I think it's something we all kind of revert back to from our childhood. watching Fantasia and Harry Potter and all these really magical, outstanding tales always have that they have a really special place in my heart, at least as music, it's stuff I kind of grew up on. So
is that implying that most of the program comes from movie music?
A lot of it does, yeah, and some maybe even accidentally. For example, Sorcerer's Apprentice was, you know, a lot of people know it from Fantasia.
The original Fantasia.
Right.
With Mickey Mouse and...
So, yeah, it's movie music by accident, even though it was written far before the film. So
many people know it, or at least used to know it, just from those images.
Right. And also we're doing, you know, the finale from Firebird was also, you know, featured in the newer Fantasia. So it's also accidentally movie music, I guess.
That part has never worked its way into my own psyche because I've never seen the second one.
It's actually pretty incredible. The story in the film is much different than the ballet, but it's still really neat. And the animation is really gorgeous as well.
You're talking about the Firebird, story
right.
of the Firebird.
Right. Yeah. The story's a little bit different. Actually, it's a lot different in Fantasia. So.
Well, they just have a fragment of it, I assume.
Right. Well, just the small parts of it.
And so you'll be doing music from the Firebird.
Just the finale,
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Big horn solo in that.
Yep. That's where we start, actually, is right on that horn solo. Yep, that's the one.
Petrifying. I remember having to play that when I was in high school.
Yep. Mark Zylo, actually. He's our principal hornist, and he'll tear that up, I'm sure.
I'm sure he'll do just fine and isn't listening to this and will never feel petrified at all.
Yeah, no pressure, Mark, if you are listening.
Horn players always feel pressure, I can tell you that. That's why I quit. And you have the Central Illinois Children's Chorus.
That's yeah,
involving for a couple of things.
Right, that's something we're really excited about. Actually, we're always trying to find really exceptional groups to work with, and the Central Illinois Children's Chorus. We've seen it everywhere. They do a lot of gigs, a lot of different orchestras, and they're just fabulous. And we're looking forward to working with them and just having them sound really great.
And what are they going to be doing with you?
They're actually doing the two pieces that Steven's conducting. Actually, I don't get to work with them, unfortunately. I'm really kind of sad about that. But they're doing Pure Imagination from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. It's this kind of this sweeping arrangement, really, you know, glittery sounding. And they're also doing a cue from Harry Potter that a lot of people are quick to forget about. It's from The Prisoner of Azkaban. It's called Double Trouble, and it's a really small scene in the film. Like I said, people are really quick to forget about it, but it's kind of a cool song. So,
Stephen, do you get to work with them in advance?
Yeah, I went in about 2 or 3 weeks ago and worked with them. They had a special rehearsal because their season ends at the beginning of May. So they had a special rehearsal for me, and I got to hear them sing, and I spent an hour with them. They'd already prepared the music, but we did some little intricacies of the music. Harry Potter, you know, takes place in England, so we wanted the sound of kind of an English boys' choir, and we worked on that sound, and they sounded really, really nice. So it'll be a great addition to the concert.
Even though I imagine it's mostly girls.
It is girls, but there are quite a few young boys in that choir.
Are you using the chamber chorus or the large chorus?
They kind of threw together an amalgamation of all their choirs to do this, because since their season is over, they wanted to open it up to everyone so that everybody have an opportunity.
So you have a lot of kids on the stage then, probably.
Mm-hmm. There were about 30 kids at that rehearsal, and we're actually bringing some kids in from the Urbana Park District musical to do some of that too.
And you're involved with that?
Yes, I am.
What is that musical?
It's called Lucky Stiff, and Dallas Street, who was just here with you, he recognized that musical from many years ago when he directed it. So
we'll have to, before you leave, we'll discuss that and see, well, maybe we can get some of you all on.
Oh, I hope so. It's lots of fun.
Students on to do that. And are those the two pieces you're conducting on the concert?
Yes, although when the kids sing at Harry Potter, they're singing a short movement from the Harry Potter Symphonic Suite.
And what's your involvement along with Daniel in choosing the program?
Well, we came up with our theme initially of magic, and I think the first piece we thought of was Harry Potter.
Sure, yeah.
And then we went from there, and we went, what could we follow Harry Potter with? Precede it? And we came up with some repertoire choices, and we had a Google Doc going for quite a long time of what kind of things we could do on a concert like this, and we had a really long list to begin with, and then we kind of have to narrow it down on what music is published, what could we borrow from some people, and then quite a while into our process of choosing repertoire, we realized that our theme of magic really wasn't fitting the music. So we expanded it to magical tales because we were telling a story. It wasn't just a magic show. It was, we're telling a story with the music.
And Stephen and I have actually been looking for an excuse to do the finale from Firebird since we started the orchestra, so it was really convenient. We were like, well, that's kind of magical, right? Firebird.
Yeah, it's definitely
yeah,
magical.
So we're like, yeah. Well, we finally get a chance to do this finale because it's something I've been wanting to do for a while.
And are you pairing the Firebird with Harry Potter since Dumbledore has essentially
Phoenix,
a Firebird
yeah, right,
in
yeah.
there?
It's on the same part of the program, yes, mm-hmm. Stephen. It's the same half of the program. So finale or the finale from Firebird will be our closing number. So
one of those connections that you don't necessarily think about.
I didn't even think about it until just now.
Well, so. When they show up, that just supports that you made a good choice. Yeah. Of
we'll give you credit in the program for pointing that out.
No. Have you printed the program yet?
Not yet.
Oh well, then go right ahead. If you printed it already,
we'll put a picture of you in there
not,
too.
No,
programming
no,
consideration
that's
by
right,
Kevin
yeah.
Kelly.
And that would cost you money.
No.
To do that,
we probably couldn't afford
to run
that.
The photo. No, yeah, it's very expensive. Oh, talk about irrelevancies. You still have the. I gather from the musicians who you brought along, you still have the sort of mentor-mentee relationships going on within the instrumental sections, where you have a professional / student, you know, advanced student. Leading various sections,
right.
And then younger students within the sections.
Absolutely, and that's not something that's something that will always be a really special part of the Urbana Pops. Actually, it's not something we plan to do away with anytime soon, for sure. I think it's one of the things that really gives us a chance to be good performers, but also to excel as far as excellence in teaching and things like that. It's while it is on-the-job training and the students are held at very rigorous standards, it's still a good chance for us to live really close to our educational mission, too, which is to inspire younger students.
So introduce your mentor-mentee pair that are with us today.
Well, we have our principal cellist, Ann Zettervall, who has started the principal chair effective last year, actually was her first year with us, and we have Pierre... who is actually sits associate principal in the section. So the cool thing is being a student in the Urbana Pops, you're not kind of pushed to the back of the section. I mean, you know, Pierre will actually play principal for the one or two pieces leading up to Anne's solo, because we don't want her on stage while she's trying to get in the mood, you know, to play solo work. So Pierre will actually be leading the section for a couple of the pieces, and it's I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think it's a really great experience for younger students to do that.
Yeah.
And the piece you're going to be, we're actually not going to be previewing the piece you'll be playing with the orchestra, so we're not going to give that away by letting people listen to it, but tell us
right.
about it a little bit and why that was. This a piece you chose or that Daniel chose for you?
Actually, I did choose it. Mm-hmm. I was sent the themes for the concerts, and originally I suggested something for the second concert, actually.
Right.
But that program didn't work out, so along the magical theme, I was thinking, what could I come up with for a solo piece with orchestra that wouldn't be something huge? And Silent Woods came up, and Daniel has come to love it.
It's, yeah, actually, I wasn't really familiar with it.
Music by Dvorak.
Yeah, it's really kind of one of those things where I hadn't heard of it. I bought the score as soon as I found out we were doing it, and I studied it, and it's becoming one of my favorite pieces on the entire program, actually. And it's funny because Dvorak really hated the cello. As I found out in my research for the piece, he has quoted it saying that the cello
that's
is a
news
really,
to me.
Yeah, he says
and
that
you wouldn't know from the music he's written. For
that's
it.
That was my point. It, you know, he said it's an excellent section instrument, but as a solo instrument, it whines in its high register and it growls in its low register, and he was actually not very fond of it as a solo instrument. So, but he writes so beautifully. His cello concerto, for example, is just, you know, really something special. So.
Oh, I've just lost respect for
Dvorak.
Except he overcame that, you know.
Along those lines, the first piece I suggested was actually a movement from Victor Herbert's second cello concerto, which was written in the USA, which was why I thought of it for the second concert made in the USA. But that piece is what inspired Dvorak to write his concerto.
So all of these connections going on. But no Victor Herbert on the program.
No.
Silent Woods will be on there. This is one of a number of pieces, that smaller pieces that he wrote for cello and orchestra or piano, didn't he?
Yes, he has a few.
Besides the concerto. And then, Pierre, you're going to be doing a couple of things solo on this concert?
No, just playing principal with Anne.
Oh, so you're just playing some stuff for us today.
Yeah, I'll be playing Bach.
Just because, why not, right?
Yeah,
why not? Well, why not do it now? Bach? What Bach? There's lots of Bach for cello.
Suite 1, Minuet 1 and 2.
And these are suites for solo cello, so no accompaniment required. Pierre Violant playing music by Johann Sebastian Bach. You said from the first suite, right?
First suite
in
G major.
G major.
G.
The two minuets from there. Pierre, you're at what school and what grade?
I'm at Central High School and going into 10th grade. So going to be a sophomore.
Only the 10th grade. Wow. Yeah. Sounding fabulous.
Thanks.
And Pierre is the, I guess, associate principal, co-principal,
yeah,
kind of the Urbanopops Orchestra. Yeah. Principal cellist is Anne Zettervall, who is also going to play some music by Bach for us. And what have you got?
This is the Gigue from the third suite, which is in C major.
I always get those two mixed up between, you know,
yes,
which keys. They were the two I could play the most easily on the horn. Not too many complications, which was what was required for me to handle them. Okay, let's hear it here on live on Live and Local. Closing music from the third suite in C major by Johann Sebastian Bach for solo cello, Anne Zettervall performing live here on Live and Local. She's principal cellist of the Urbana Pops Orchestra, who will be giving the first concert of this summer next Friday, June 15th at 7 p.m. at the Vineyard Church on Lincoln Avenue in Urbana. For more information, you can go to urbanapops.org. Tickets are available at the door or in advance at International Galleries, which is located at Lincoln Square in downtown Urbana. And the concert called Magical Tales. Daniel Sutherland is the conductor, principal conductor, music director.
All of those.
All of those above. Stephen Larson, associate conductor, and also Pierre Violant with us, who is assistant principal cellist and will be playing principal on a couple of pieces on the program. Support for our show today comes from World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods on the corner of 6th and University in Champaign, providing Champaign-Urbana with an international selection of chocolates, cheeses, oils, balsamic vinegar, jams, spices, barbecue sauces, and more. World Harvest invites you to join them in supporting public radio. Here are just a few of the many things going on musically and otherwise the next couple of days. The Game of Love is at the Station Theater in Urbana. That's at 8 o'clock tonight. We'll be having a feature on that next week. Lamont Parsons is at Bouvons in Urbana playing jazz. That's this evening at 6 o'clock. The Illinois Summer Harp Class opening concert featuring Julia K. Jameson is at Smith Memorial Hall on the U of I campus in Urbana tonight at 7:30. It's the Bach at Noon Chamber Series, Aspects of the Christmas Oratorio from the Peoria Bach Festival at Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church. Actually, the noon thing just happened. Sorry. The chamber concert is tonight with arias from the oratorio. That's 5:30 at Trinity. Big Blue Stem String Band will be at the Krannert Center in Urbana this evening at 5 o'clock. Susan Williams plays the blues at Fat Man's Warehouse in Danville tonight at 9 o'clock. And Charleston Community Band is at Kiwanis Park Amphitheater in Charleston tonight at 7:30. You're listening to 90.9 WYLL-FM and HD Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and More for Central Illinois. We're a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois, and we have support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wine tastings on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. This Saturday's tasting features a sampling of old favorites and new arrivals, followed from 7 to 9 by live music from the Prairie Dogs. And here's another of the pieces that will be on that Magical Tales concert by Urbana Pops next Friday evening. This comes from the film Hook. Music by John Williams, who conducts the Boston Pops, this segment called Flight to Neverland.